Welcome to TFL's Capital Connection, your place for a Christian perspective on what's going on at the Iowa Capitol, the policies, the discussions, the issues that are going to impact you and your family. My name is Drew Zahn, Director of Communications with the Family Leader, and I am joined today by Chuck Hurley, who leads our Elections and Policy Department. He is a longtime veteran up at the Capitol, part of one of the most respected, sometimes they would say feared, teams of lobbyists up at the Iowa Capitol, and someone who is working for you, but more importantly even than that, working for an audience of one, working for the Lord up there. I'm also joined by Ryan Benn. He is a little bit newer member of the team, but he's been here a while. He formerly a clerk at the Iowa State Supreme Court. These two legal minds and capital minds are giving you behind the scenes info on the things that you need to know about at the Iowa Capitol. And today it has been, we're looking back, it has been a busy last couple of weeks actually up at the Iowa Capitol. And we've got five issues that we're going to be talking about here today. We're going to be talking about the issues of life. We're going to be talking about protecting children from pornography. Talking about pronouns and lawsuits therein. Homeschoolers, we got some info from you, and a governor's initiative to bring about family leave, like paternal leave and maternal leave for government employees here in the state of Iowa. So that's our agenda. That's what's on the menu. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks. And in your intro, you mentioned from a Christian perspective, something we haven't listed, but encompasses all of them from a Christian perspective, is there's a weekly prayer meeting and weekly Bible study. I had the privilege of leading the Bible study this week, and we had our biggest crowd that I've seen in, I don't know, 10 or 20 years. It was awesome. It was a fabulous Bible study. We've got a bunch of new Christian legislators, and things are rocking from a Christian standpoint at the Capitol.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Chuck. You know, I almost cringe a little bit. I called you a lobbyist a few minutes ago. And you know, when people hear that term, they think about, you know, big corporations who are trying to influence the government with money or whatever, and they're dirty lobbyists. And what folks need to understand is the family leader is something entirely different up there at the Iowa Capitol.
I call myself a missionary to the government.
There you go. There you go. That's a much better term. I'll try to use it next week.
All right. Did we register as a missionary of the government, or was that as a lobbyist? Should put an asterisk on the registration.
Maybe by the time you retire, they'll have changed the moniker from lobbyist to missionary.
When we fully reach Christian nationalism, is that?
Whoa. Okay. The other term we like to use is family advocate. Yeah. Whatever term we use to describe the more reality of it, they call you lobbyists up there. It might be an insult. I don't know. But let's talk about the issues, because like we said, it has been a busy this past week and even the week before kicking things off. So let's talk about this issue. It's one of our top issues here at the Family Leader. Life. We say at the Family Leader that it is our goal. It's the gold standard to protect life, to see life protected and cherished from the moment of conception to natural death. And there's movement on life at the Iowa Capitol. What's going on?
Great movement. The start of this week, Monday morning, we helped host a prayer rally for life where Governor Reynolds spoke and was prayed over. Attorney General Brenna Byrd spoke and was prayed over. And a number of legislators spoke, and a number of pastors were there who prayed. So it genuinely was a prayer rally, not just a bunch of speech making. But the speeches were fabulous, the prayers were fabulous, and it's obvious to me that we have great pro-life leadership at the Capitol, starting with the governor. Our attorney general, I think, is sincerely, deeply, completely pro-life. She's amazing. Our governor's amazing. And we've got some movement on some bills now on life.
Yeah, and I actually got to testify on a couple of those bills this past, weeks to run together. I think it's been the past 2 weeks. But I suppose the listeners might remember from last year, we talked about a bill called the Baby Olivia Bill a lot. And last year, we ran into some hiccups in the Senate with that. And part of the feedback we got is we don't want to name a specific video. We don't like the name Baby Olivia. And so we've tried very hard to train ourselves over the last year. We're not going to call it that. We're going to call it the Prenatal Human Development Education Bill.
Yeah, nothing wrong with those of you who are actually named Olivia out
yes,
there.
Yes, I don't know what the
problem was not the name. They just wanted to make sure that the schools had the flexibility flexibility to select a number of videos, not be tied down to one particular brand name or one particular provider.
Sure.
Because the overall goal isn't to show a single video. The overall goal is?
Yeah, the goal is to change the next generation's view on life, or to help them be more pro-life. Right now, we've got a real problem with young people, and the polling shows that most of them graduate high school and have very little respect for the lives of the unborn.
In fact, voting patterns for those ages 18 to 29 in these referenda or initiatives that have been, unfortunately, the pro-life side's been losing badly all over the country the last 2.5 years, the 18 to 29-year-olds are voting close to 80% for abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. So we've got a problem in their viewpoint on whether this baby should be protected or not.
Yeah. And ultimately, they're not seeing the humanity of the child. And the whole reason they're not respecting the life of the unborn and the preborn child is because they aren't being shown the life and the humanity of the preborn child.
I like to say that a picture is worth 1,000 words and a video is worth 1,000,000. And viewing that video, if you haven't seen it, look it up. The Baby Olivia video is fabulous. It's medically accurate, even though it's being slandered by the pro-aborts as not being accurate. When you watch the Baby Olivia video, if you aren't brought to tears or a sense of awe, then you may not have a pulse. It's just amazing what God does with a new life in the womb.
Yeah, when you actually get a window into the womb, you come away recognizing that little child in her mother's womb, she's a baby. Not a clump of cells, not a parasite, which are words we've actually heard used up in the Capitol, even in during subcommittee. You know, a child is a parasite. What? Yeah. No.
Yeah, it gets pretty sad listening to testimony from the other side. But this bill is designed to address exactly that. It's designed to show kids in schools videos, pictures of unborn babies and show them, yes, this is a human life. So we've got a bill in the House and the Senate. And it's been nice because both in the House and Senate, there's a lot of excitement about the bill and the bill's moving. Like we had trouble getting it through the Senate Education Committee last year. And this year we got it through in the first 3 weeks. So a lot of excitement about it.
And however, when you say we got it through, I just want to clarify, you're talking about the Iowa people. We're talking about the family leader.
Sure,
we're talking about that process, too, of, and you mentioned it earlier. I just want to make sure people listening understand the testifying it. On it. The subcommittees, they get together and you hear testimony from both sides of an issue. And a lot of times you hear people coming up there who are testifying pro and against a bill. And sometimes they're professionals and sometimes they're folks in the street. But the reality is because of the family leader, you have a voice up there. Now, sometimes we recruit you to come up and help us and join us when we need it. But we are there representing you, trying to represent kingdom values and a biblical perspective on these issues so that legislators aren't just hearing one side of the story.
So I've been with the family leader, formerly the Iowa Family Policy Center, for over 26 years. And I was president of the Iowa Family Policy Center for 12 years. And the number one note of appreciation, the number one thank you that I received from people over those years and still today is, I could never do that. Thank you so much for speaking on my behalf, for saying the things I'd like to say, but I don't know how to say them or when or where to say them. So it's our privilege and honor to be your voice. We want to hear from you. And we'd love to have you come to the Capitol and observe. And now some grassroots folks are actually coming to Capitol and testifying. It's really cool to see the movement, but we count it a privilege to be there. And we've now testified, Ryan, you've done most of the testifying the last few weeks, but we've probably testified 20 times on bills. And it's our privilege to do that. But you have to be there. You have to be ready. You have to be willing to speak up and speak with confidence and with facts. And so it's high pressure, but it's fun.
Yeah, all right. Well, speaking of those testimonies, another issue. Let's move on to another issue that we're testifying on up there, which is protecting children in the state of Iowa from pornography. What are we advocating there?
Well, if you go to an adult bookstore, which I don't recommend you do, but if you do, they're going to ID you if you're young at all, because they make you pull out your ID, prove that you're over the age of 18 to buy anything from that store, right? Online, you don't have to do that. You go on whatever website you want. maybe you have to click a button that says you're 18, but you don't have to prove it. And the kids can get on and see see material all over the internet right now. And what we'd like to do is require these pornography websites to put a wall up and say, you have to prove you're 18 in order to be on the site. So to require age verification for pornographic websites is the goal. And we're making some good progress on that too. We worked it last year, and this year we have a bill in the House already that's had a subcommittee. We testify that. And then in the Senate, we know of a bill that's going to be filed most likely next week that looks really good as well. And some of the language is different. We've been working kind of behind the scenes and trying to help the legislators figure out you know, what language to use to pass the First Amendment while also protecting kids the most. And so that's something big we've been working on a lot.
Ryan has put in dozens, maybe over 100 hours on this issue the last couple of years. This is a tough issue because it implicates the First Amendment free speech. There are bad Supreme Court cases saying that pornography is okay. I mean, personally, I would like to see all pornography and obscenity thrown into the abyss. But as long as we have it out there and it's legal and people are making billions of dollars off of it, the pornographers are targeting young people and trying to get them hooked early.
It's working.
They're doing a great job, and it's making them billions of dollars, and it's hooking these young people. And as Ryan so eloquently tested just a couple of days ago, this is devastating for young people. And a pastor came forward and testified. It was devastating for him as a underage young man to get hooked, and it messed up his life for years and years. So this is a big honking issue. The good news is 19 other states have passed it. Iowa should be the 20th, and we're going to work hard to get that done.
Yeah, this is an issue that is very literally speaking in the hands of, when you think of our cell phones, in the hands of Iowa teenagers by the thousands and tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. So I want to do point out something else, though, that you were talking in there, because sometimes I think to the folks who are just sitting at home and hearing about the battles up at the legislature, and you hear something like this, protect children from pornography. And the thought is, well, yeah, duh. Like, why is that so hard to pass? What do you mean you've been working on it for years? What is wrong with these people? They're not passing these things. And of course, well, you may have some answers to that question. But just in our last segment, though, you were talking about, hey, there's disagreement over the best language to use here, because you had a whole bunch of legislators up there, and that many of them care about this issue. But there's a balance there with First Amendment issues, which these legislators are also passionately caring about. So the process of working out, you know, it's never just as easy as passing a bill and says, boom, now it's illegal.
Yeah.
Right. There's always that process of, well, wait a minute, if we make it illegal this way or in that way, or if we enforce it this way or that way, that might infringe over here. And there are legitimate, even on an issue like pornography and protecting children from it, we still got real issues that we're dealing with and freedoms that Americans have that we have to figure out how to navigate. And that navigation is part of the reason it takes so long.
Yep. And the tech companies too, they have a presence up there, and they are very well funded, and they've got opinions as well. So it's a complicated issue for sure.
The danger that I see most prevalent is that the tech companies have lots of money, as in trillions of dollars, and oftentimes strong government leaders want to raise millions of dollars for campaigns. And so I'm concerned that the tech companies may try to water down or blunt or destroy this bill by, you know, using their big money to entice people to kill the bill behind the scenes. Now, having said that, 19 other states have passed it. So we're on a roll. This is probably a 90% issue in the country. So we should be able to win it, but please pray that it would not be corrupted at the highest levels through, I'm just going to say the word, through bribery or through incentives of big money.
Yeah, the call to prayer is good there, because we have an enemy, not of this world, who seeks to kill and destroy and enslave. And few things enslave more quickly, more readily, and even, sadly, more permanently than the issue of pornography. If he can get his meat hooks into our children, he's feeling like he's doing pretty good. So, yeah, he's going to stand against this issue, and prayer is a mighty weapon to defeat him. Speaking of complex issues, let's move on to issue number three, pronoun usage. How is pronouns a part of, I thought that was English. What's that have to do with the law?
So teachers around the country have.
And not just English teachers.
Not just English teachers have teachers with good values or notions of common sense have found themselves in the crosshairs being required in some woke school districts to use the pronoun of the student's choice, even when it doesn't match reality, doesn't match biology.
So a boy wants to be called a she or a zer or a whatever.
And so a teacher of conscience will say no and will be fired or reprimanded by the woke school district. Well, just in the last few months, several of these teachers now with our friends, the Alliance Defending Freedom, have sued the school districts and have won rather large awards, $575,000 in Virginia, $450,000 in Ohio. And according to this ADF lawyer, the teachers are flocking to him. So it's happening all over. And so
standing on the First Amendment again, are they?
Yeah.
Aha, yep. So there is an important
value. There's an important value at stake. And so in Iowa, we haven't had a big lawsuit yet. We've no doubt had teachers who have been coerced. And so we think the legislature should protect these teachers and other school personnel from being forced to say a lie or being forced to muzzle their First Amendment rights and not force the taxpayers to pay for these verdicts, to pay for these attorney's fees. That's who ends up paying, is we end up paying. So we're arguing for a bill, and it's passed out of subcommittee on both House and Senate, that would protect teachers' First Amendment rights and conscience rights.
Very good. And speaking of education, we promised earlier, there's something going on with homeschoolers. And I know we've got a lot of homeschoolers in the audience today. So what, Ryan, you're pointing over there, we're pointing over there to Ryan. Yeah. You can't see that at home, but I see it. Ryan, what have you been talking about homeschoolers up at the Capitol?
Yeah, well, I'll start off by saying Representative Bill Gustoff is the man on homeschooling. He's awesome.
He's the man.
He's got a really good bill this year.
And he was elected by a very narrow margin, right?
He was, okay, yeah.
Okay, so, just putting that word out. Where is he from?
Yeah. Is he up in what?
He's in Altoona, and several TFL supporters, including my granddaughter and I, knocked doors for him. He worked really hard. He's a wonderful guy, but it's not a very good district for conservatives. And so, yeah, he eked out a win, I think, by 100 votes or so.
When we say elections make a difference, when we say volunteers make a difference, when we write our letters to you out there who are listening, we say, hey, you can make a difference. You say it was 100 votes or so, and the man on homeschooling, as he has been called, won an election and is now working on something. What's he working on?
He's got a really good bill. Does a couple things for homeschoolers. One, it raises the homeschool like tax credit. So if you have expenses, you buy textbooks for homeschooling. Right now, you have a 25% tax credit on that. It would raise it to 50%. So that would really help financially homeschoolers be able to afford to homeschool. And then a second big part of it is it gets rid of some unnecessary requirements that homeschoolers currently have in place. So like, for instance, if you were to pull your child out of public school because you want to homeschool. Right now, you have to prove to the public school that they have had certain vaccinations in order to do that, which doesn't make any sense because like you're taking them away from all the other kids. So that's one example of a requirement that could be removed. There's another one that says you can't have more than four unrelated kids homeschooling together. Like if you and a family want to work together to do school, homeschool together, you couldn't do that if it's four or more. You know, it's just kind of silly things like that that he would take out of the code. But so it's a good bill. It has a couple other things to it. It's big. It's got divisions. Whenever you have divisions bills, that means it's really long. It's got different parts, but it's a good bill.
Bill is a Bill's bill. Nice. Bill Gustoff is a champion. He lobbied for homeschooling for years. Very mature Christian man. Very likable. And he's like the perfect guy to run this bill.
Excellent. So speaking of family and the home, last issue we're going to be talking about today, the governor's, she in her condition of the state address announced some plans on family leave, some plans specifically, if I remember right, you correct me guys, that deal with fathers, right? We're talking paternal leave especially. Anyways, help me out there. What are the details I'm missing on what the governor's saying and what's happening regarding family leave at the Capitol?
Well, not to get too deep in the weeds, but the principle is that children matter, and we as a state should encourage parental bonding with those new children. And also, parenthetically, I testified on a bill this week that would equate adopted children to natural-born children as far as leave. And so it's just saying that moms and dads matter and that we should recognize that and encourage that and encourage childbearing. We're in a birth dearth right now, 1.66 babies per mother now, which is not even replacement. 2.1 is replacement.
So is that in Iowa?
Fertility's declining. Yeah, Iowa's way down.
Yeah, too. So we're seeing Iowa's population decline.
So we know that a lot of women are in the workplace now, and so if they want to have a baby, under the current rules, they don't have maternity leave. And so it just puts them in a tough spot.
The state, I don't know, is it the biggest employer in the state? I assume it probably is. Yeah. And there's a lot of women who...
Because you had schools to all of that, right? Just state employee.
Yeah, so obviously. But right now, like a woman who works for the state would be very discouraged from starting to have kids because like you have to use all your paid PTO if you want to have paid time off at all. And then you have to take time off that you don't get paid for weeks and weeks. So this would fix that problem and stop discouraging women from having babies. And it also gives a week of paternity leave to fathers, too, which is good for bonding and good for family. So we've been supporting it.
Yeah, so I stand a little bit corrected here that the paternal leave is a part of it, but yeah. Iowa state employees don't even have maternal leave yet.
Which
is, I think, a little surprising and something that ought to be rectified.
Yep.
Which is part of the reason that you guys are working up there up at the Capitol. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about these five different issues. There are many more issues. I think a few years ago, we counted 1,800 bills filed in a single session that we were monitoring. And we've just talked about roughly five or six of them here this morning. But that is part of what the family leader does. And I would encourage you a couple of things. First of all, if you're listening to us today, through social media or you caught us online some way, I'd encourage you to visit our website at thefamilyleader.com. And if you are listening to us off of thefamilyleader.com, I'd encourage you to check us out on Facebook. Make sure you follow us there, Twitter, Instagram, so that we can update you and so you can be in the know on what's going on, not just the next podcast, but other issues that may be more urgent. And then finally, when you do go to thefamilyleader.com, I'm going to try to direct you here just a little bit. There's an opportunity to sign up for some emails that come from our legislative team, go more in depth, keep you in the know on what's going on in policy beyond what we can do here on our podcast. To get there right now, what you want to do is go to the top where you see the words "our work." And if you click on that, it breaks down all the different things we're doing at the Family Leader. One of those is elections and policy. Click on the elections and policy and click through till you find that homepage on those kinds of issues. And if you scroll down a bit, because there's a lot of content on that page, be patient with me, especially if you're on a phone, scroll down till you get to take action. You want to click that button, and there's an opportunity there. And it talks about different areas that you're interested in receiving updates on, and you can subscribe to our once weekly email on what's going on at the Iowa Capitol. Chuck, before we sign off completely, you wanted to say something.
It's very likely that we will need you to take action soon. I'll just put it that way. We've got a couple things that are going to pop here in the next few days.
And you are going to want to know about it if you want to see this state impacted with biblical values. Hey, thank you for listening today. Please do check us out at thefamilyleader.com. We look forward to seeing you next time.
This podcast is a project of the Family Leader and the Family Leader Foundation. If you'd like to partner with us and our work, please visit us at thefamilyleader.com/give.